Remember where you've come from. And the Old Testament, God's people are a people of remembrance. They have their feast days. They have their celebrations. You read the Psalms, and the Psalms remember the history of Israel as they're being, as God's being praised. Yeah. So we're called to be a people of remembrance. And for us, this is part of our being a people of remembrance. We're part of the Christian Missionary Alliance around the world, and I'm going to just give a bit of an overview of that, along with what Kathleen talked about this morning in missions. So the CMA worldwide is found in 88 countries, plus. The plus are those who we don't name because you don't want to name them because it's dangerous. There are approximately 22,000 churches worldwide, with about 6.5 million people in Alliance churches. For us in Australia, that's something we need to think about, because we're much smaller than that, and we'll look at that in a second. There are 93 full-time theological colleges around the world with 7,500 students training for ministry right now in Alliance colleges. There are 17,000 missionaries worldwide coming from different nations, and we're one of those. We are a mission society with churches, and we're part of a much bigger thing than a little country church in Western Australia, or even a small, quite small denomination within Australia. We're part of a large family within the whole body of Christ. And sometimes it's good to remind ourselves of that, because we go, oh, here we are in our own little corner with just us, you know. In Australia, we have 83 congregations. The reason I say congregations rather than churches is because some churches have multiple congregations in different languages and different ethnic groups. So 83 congregations. And there's about 6,500 people in church this morning in Alliance churches. So in terms of an Australian denomination, quite small. We have more than 130 licensed workers, and they include pastors, chaplains, official workers, youth workers, and retired workers, of which we have a couple in this church. So Ian and Cheryl are retired. Well, so they're called retired. Yeah. You just take a pay cut. We have 23 people on mission support through our Great Commission Fund. The giving of our faith promise that you were talking about this morning, Kathleen, started in 1891. We have 23 people who we support through that, and as well as those are adults, and there are 13 kids in the families that are included in that. Some of those are our Aussie missionaries who we've sent out from here. Some are people who are on professional placements somewhere, and they work under Alliance professionals, and they have a placement in a country, and like Jane and Gary and their kids. We're working a professional job, but in a country where they are actively involved in ministry. So others include partnerships with other Alliance countries in helping support their missionaries. And so when we have missions convention this year, and you get your little prayer booklet that has all the photos, you'll see all those people, and you'll learn a little bit about them as we have our missions convention in September. We have one theological training center, ACOM, and within ACOM, which we partner with the Churches of Christ, we have the Alliance Institute of Mission, and the father of the Dean of the Alliance and mother of the Dean of the Alliance Institute of Mission are sitting right there. And I have the privilege of having him as my nephew-in-law. But we don't have in-laws, we have family. So he's my nephew. So that's an overview of, here's the body of Christ, here's the Alliance, here's the Australian Alliance, and then there's us. What holds this part of the family together in terms of our calling and where we stand in terms of the work of Jesus? And our logo is a really good place to start with that. But before we do, did you know we have a purpose statement of the Christian Missionary Alliance of Australia? Here it is. We're called by God, this is every Alliance Church in Australia, to offer him acceptable worship and to serve him by establishing disciple-making churches that will engage in world evangelization, so it's local mission and worldwide mission, with the fourfold gospel of Christ as Saviour, Sanctifier, Healer and Coming King. And you can find that on the Alliance Australia website. And if you look in the background behind that, you can see the logo, which we're going to unpack. Here it is, the logo. This emphasis is old. I mean, this was in the thoughts of Simpson back in 1870s and in the 1880s when the Evangelical Alliance and the Christian Alliance formed together and moved the holiness movement and the missions movement together and gave us this wonderful title which fits lovely on the top of a page, the Christian and Missionary Alliance and in Australia of Australia, or Pinjarra Alliance Church of the Christian Missionary Alliance of Australia Incorporated. You know, that here's our title. That's why we tell everyone Alliance Church. It's much easier. That's a simplified version. So over the next few weeks, we'll unpack that logo. And you can see there's a cross at the top and there's a laver on the right-hand side. That is not a communion cup. It's a laver, as you would see outside the old temple where you wash yourself. On the right-hand side, you see a jug and underneath you see a crown. And we'll unpack each one of those. And we're going to begin with our first part of the logo today and just unpack that. Jesus Christ as Saviour. Each one of the points of the logo points to Jesus. We call it the fourfold gospel, Jesus Christ as Saviour, Sanctifier, Healer and Coming King. And so as we look at each one, this is where Jesus fits. This is where we get the hymn that Simpson wrote, Jesus only is our message, not Jesus plus. Jesus, the source of our life. We are Trinitarian. We are not. There is a church around called the Jesus Only Church that doesn't follow it. It doesn't believe in the work of the Holy Spirit. Doesn't believe in the work of the Father. It's Jesus only. We don't stand in that position. We are traditionally Trinitarian. We believe Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And as we go through, you'll see how that unpacks within our logo. So, what do we know about Jesus? And this is not comprehensive for me. I'm just going to move this a little. This is not a comprehensive theological treatise on the logo of the Alliance. This is just helping us understand a little bit. When you drive past and you see our logo up there on the sign, when you see it outside here on the end of this building, when you see it on the little sign next door, when you see it on the side of my car where I've got that, this is helping just understand what does that say about us, who we are as a local church. So Jesus is our universal Saviour. Notice I'm not saying I'm a universalist. I'm not saying that everyone is saved because of Jesus. That's a teaching called universalism. It doesn't matter whether you respond to Jesus or not. His death is fine. Everyone's going to end up in heaven. That's not biblical. Yeah, that's be clear on that. But Jesus is a universal Saviour in this way. He is available as a Saviour to anyone who calls on him, regardless of race, creed, colour, status, or any other definition of human differences, how we divide people up. When we get to Revelation, we find that there will be people of every tribe and tongue and nation, every ethnic group, every shade, every language. They'll all be there around the throne. And it says they will be innumerable. We won't be able to count them. and they'll be focusing on Jesus, the Lamb that was slain. Listen to these wonderful scriptures, and that's how I'm going to unpack this today, is just by reading some scriptures to you. John 3:16 says this: "For God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life." It's a whoever statement. It's a universal statement. "All who come to him with a repentant heart, sorry for their sins, and believe that he is who he says he is, that he's the one who's paid the price on their behalf, will receive his salvation." That's that promise there in John 3:16. John 1:12 and 13. "To all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of the human decision or a husband's will, but children born of God." Notice that universal statement there. "To all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name." It's a salvation offered. He's a universal Savior. He offers everyone salvation. Not everyone responds to that. But Jesus has paid for the sins of everyone who responds to him. John 5:24. "Very truly I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life." Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He won't be judged, but has crossed from death to life. Romans 10:13, you know this. "Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Are you hearing the appeal from God and the statement from God that Jesus is a universal Savior? He is available for all who call on him. That's where we stand. That's a base belief of who we are as a church. And John 5:12 says this: "Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever doesn't have the Son of God does not have life." So a very clear statement that salvation is available, and also a clear statement that not everyone avails themselves of it, but it doesn't belittle or change this incredible work that Jesus did for the world. In a climate of argument against exclusivism, Jesus is an exclusive Savior. We read in Acts 4:12, "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name given to men by which we must be saved." And there's a whole sermon just sitting in that one statement. But Jesus is an exclusive Savior. There is no other Savior. There is no other God than the Trinitarian God that we follow. Come back into Isaiah in the 40s and you read over and over, "I am God, there is no other." And Jesus is God with us. There is no other way of salvation. A number of us have tried other ways. You know, Maddie and I talk about the days when we were seeking through Eastern mysticism. Now, I remember trying to reach a thing called satsang, which is I'm supposed to get a special taste in my mouth and a third eye that I can see with, that no one else can see. I was serious about that. I wanted to find out. But there's no salvation there. There is no salvation in working and being a good person and saying to God, "See how good I am. For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the work of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." Jesus is an exclusive Savior. We don't have any part in it other than responding to his offer of salvation. We can't earn it. We can't twist his arm. We can't get on his good side so he'll let us into heaven. There's only one gateway into heaven. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. It's the work of Jesus. Jesus only. Contrary to what contemporary culture says, there are not multiple paths to God. Now, I often hear people say that, well, you're going one path, I'm going the other way, heading up the same mountain. No, we're not. Definitely not. I'm being drawn to God through the work of a God reaching me. You're trying to earn your way to God through a work coming from a broken person who can never reach perfection. It's a work of the blood of Jesus to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There is only one Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus in John 14:6 says, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And that leaves us with the dilemma that that's been posed in quite a lot of writing. C.S. Lewis said it this way. Jesus is either a liar, or he's a lunatic, or he's who he said he is. He's God, he's Lord. And if you ask anyone, even people who are not believers, is Jesus a liar? No, he was a really good bloke. Well, if he's a really good bloke and you can trust what he says, how come you don't trust the fact that he says he's God? And that he's the only way to a relationship with God? Is Jesus a loony? No one in all history has accused Jesus of being a lunatic because he thinks he's God. They had reservations. Yeah, they turned up. And we read it in our Bible study this week. Your mother and father brothers and sisters are outside. They're wanting you, and they'd really come because they wanted to say, let's go quietly because you're upsetting too many people. We think you're a little bit nutty. And he said, the one who does my will is my mother and my brother and my sister. And the will of God is that none should perish, but all should come to a knowledge of Jesus. Listen to Philippians. Jesus laid aside his divinity, became a man and died for us in Philippians 2, 5 to 11. And then it finishes that section from verse 9 to 11. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place, gave him the name that's above every other name. You know, it's not Jesus, and alongside him is Buddha, and alongside him is Muhammad, and they're all equals. They're just different paths to the same place. Jesus has a name that's above every other name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. It's very exclusive. And you know, in the way our current climate is going in Australia, there's going to come a time, I'm pretty sure of it, there'll come a time when we will be held to account for declaring the truth of Scripture. And when we say Jesus is the only way, we will get arrested. That when we stand up and speak, this is the word of God, we will find ourselves on the outer, as the very early church was. As a matter of fact, what Phil read this morning, some early people in early church history claimed that the Christians were cannibals because they were eating flesh and drinking blood. And that was one of the accusations against the early church. You know, the martyrdom of people within the early church, we often hear about that. But you know, even today, there are more martyrs in the last 100 years than there have been in the previous 1900 years. People who die for their faith because they declare Jesus is the only way. Jesus is a universal Savior. He offers everyone salvation. He is the only way of salvation. And he's a comprehensive Savior. Romans 8, 29 to 30 makes it clear that our salvation, predestined from the foundation of the world, includes not only being justified and being forgiven, but also that God is changing us into the image of Jesus himself. One day that process is going to be complete and we will be glorified and we'll see God face to face. It's a comprehensive salvation that deals with us now. We did a series on Ephesians recently. Ephesians 1. We have every spiritual blessing in Christ. That sounds pretty comprehensive. And it's mentioned three times. In Him, it's mentioned. In Jesus, our blessing. Three times it mentions that. We have sonship through Jesus Christ. We are overflowing with the glorious grace that is freely given to us. And it's through Jesus. We have redemption through the blood of Jesus. We are under Christ. We are marked with Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. That's comprehensive. He Himself dwells in us by His Spirit. And His salvation isn't just a forgiveness, wipe clean the record, but it's an indwelling of the Spirit of God in us. He comes to live within us and to change us from the inside out, not put rules and regulations on us on the outside that we have to follow in order to please Him. And somebody said to me, "You're a pastor, aren't you religious?" And, "No, I'm not religious." And they say, "How can you not be religious? You're a pastor." I said, "Religion is to do with rules and regulations and earning." And when I was 17, I left boarding school. I was in a church boarding school. I said, "I never want to be religious for the rest of my life. I never want to be religious." And I hold to that. And what I hold to is that, however, I have a relationship with the living God who offers me a comprehensive salvation. And in that comprehensive salvation, the way I respond to Him is a response of thankfulness, not of doing the rules and regulations. And I said, "I go to church, not because the rule says you've got to go to church. It's because I love being with God's people. And as I come, I'm built up and I get to build other people up. And together we glorify God, we praise God." And our comprehensive Saviour has given us everything we need. When we go back into Isaiah 53, "He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Surely He bore our sorrows, and by His stripes we are healed." Physical, spiritual, mental healing in Jesus. Comprehensive. The one of the modern words that people use in all sorts of businesses is holistic. Jesus already has got the corner on holistic. Our salvation is comprehensive. It's holistic. Every part of us, body, soul, mind and spirit, every part of us is saved. And God is at work in us. And as we look at Scripture, because we live in a fallen world and we are not yet face to face with God, Scripture says we are saved, definitely. When we put our faith in Jesus, it says also that we are being saved. God is at work in us, and we'll see that in another part of our logo. And it says that one day we will see Him face to face and we will be completely saved face to face with Him. So much saved that we will see Him and we won't be disappear in a puff of smoke. That sounds to me like real comprehensive salvation. You know, it's not like comprehensive insurance when you go to make your claim and they go, "Oh, there's this little fine print down here." There is no fine print. There's bold print. Jesus saves. Fully. To the uttermost, Scripture says. And I love being in the hands of a God who deals with me that way. And how does that happen? Because He's an all-powerful Saviour. Jesus. Nothing can separate us from His love. Nothing. Love this passage in Romans. "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any power, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." That's pretty powerful. Nothing. Neither this or that. And it names all different realms. None of it will separate us from the love of Jesus, because He is an all-powerful Saviour. He doesn't do a part-time job. He is a comprehensive Saviour. He's an exclusive Saviour. He's the only way. And His universal, His offer is for all people. How about Colossians chapter 2? Talk about power of God. when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, this broken human heart, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave all our sins, having cancelled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He took it away and he nailed it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Jesus and the devil are not equal opposites of a yin and yang. Jesus is all of these, universal, exclusive, comprehensive, and all-powerful, and the devil is a created being who rebelled against God, and that they are nothing alike. Not only are they nothing alike in their heart, but they're nothing alike in their creation, because Jesus wasn't created, he has always existed. He came into humanness in the flesh, in incarnation, but when we read scripture, Jesus spoke everything into existence. Read Colossians 2, 1 and 2, read Hebrews 1, read John 1. You see that Jesus spoke everything into existence. And when scripture says it's held together by his powerful word, that's Jesus speaking that holds the whole universe together. And I spoke about the emu earlier this week at a NAIDOC assembly at Foundation Christian School. And I said the emu is found between March and April, May in the Milky Way. You can see him there if you're in a place that doesn't have invasion of light. You lie on your back and you look at the Milky Way and there's this full emu inside the Milky Way as a black, like magic picture we used to have in the books that suddenly go 3D. And his beak's closed. And the indigenous Dreamtime says one day he's going to open his beak and yell and all the stars are going to fall out of the sky. And I said, you know that the Bible says it's going to become a last trump. And the end will come. And when the end comes, we will face our all-powerful Savior, Jesus, because he sits on the throne as judge. And it's in Aboriginal culture. And it's in other cultures around the world, in their stories. The gospel is in the hearts of man. Eternity in their hearts is a book which talks about all of those things. Where Jesus is already there in the cultures. And our all-powerful Saviour has defeated the enemy because they weren't opposite equals. Jesus is the pre-existent, eternal God. And Satan is a created being who got too big for his boots. And on his way down, he's trying to take others with him. But we know his ending. When we come to the book of Revelation, we see that there is a fire prepared for him. And it's not prepared for us. It's not prepared for humans, but some humans will end up there. It's a fire, a burning lake of fire prepared for the enemy. He's judged. His end is certain. Jesus' eternity is also certain. He is an all-powerful Saviour. And we can trust him fully. Jesus is all three of these things. That's why we have the cross at the top of our logo. Because this is where we start. The sufficiency of Jesus to save to the uttermost. And I love that we have this logo because it makes a clear declaration to people that we don't rely on ourselves, we rely on the complete work of our Saviour Jesus. I don't know if you've ever thought about the logo that appears every week on our bulletin that sits outside on our signage, that's on our websites, that's on our Facebook page. But every time someone looks at it, it's making this declaration that we stand on this truth. Jesus is the only Saviour. And his work is awesome. Amen? Let's pray. Thank you, Father, that once we were lost, but now we're found, and it's not of ourselves, it's the work of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you, in the garden, you said, not my will but yours, and you chose to go to the cross for us. Thank you, Spirit of God, that you dwell in us and that you are at work changing us and drawing us close to the Father, changing us into the image of Jesus. And this morning we declare together that we stand firmly on this foundation. Jesus is our Saviour. Amen. Amen.